You will then listen to the audiobook The Traitor of Prague by H.L. Guera from Saturn Publishing House, Stockholm, Sweden. Narration generated by Saturn Group Audiobooks. Copyright Saturn Publishing House, 2024. Chapter 1, November 25th. Prague, November 25th in the afternoon. The afternoon had fallen when Javier Puig prepared to leave the small hotel where he had stayed hours before. Passing through the reception desk, he picked up the American passport in the name of Rigoberto Sanchez, with which he was traveling on that occasion. And after exchanging a few German marks, he headed for the exit, mechanically counting the tattered and faded Czech crowns handed to him by the taciturn cashier. The sky was a whitish-gray color, with low, compact clouds that presaged snow. At the door he had to step aside to avoid bumping into two individuals who, impetuous and somewhat disoriented, entered the hotel. He put the exchanged money in his wallet, following the two men who, in German with a strong Berlin accent, were arguing vehemently about the future of the battered Czechoslovakian communist regime, while the doorman, with a ruddy face and irascible look, took the suitcases out of the luggage compartment of the Mercedes 300 with West Berlin license plate in which they had arrived. Arriving at the reception desk, the younger one, placing one of his Nikon cameras on the counter as if it were a firearm, asked the receptionist, with a disdainful and absent air, for a reservation in the name of a certain Braun. The woman, petite and with an immutable expression, after consulting with the imperturbable parsimony of a socialist bureaucrat the man handled reservation book, kindly but firmly replied in slow German, with a strong Slavic accent, that there was no reservation with that name. The story only gained credibility when the other man, of jovial and licentious appearance, pressed a 20-mark bill in the palm of the hand of the pale and lanky woman with long ashen hair, who, without moving a single muscle of her face, when she checked the reservation book again, confirmed it. Javier kept watching them out of the corner of his eye, pretending to look worriedly at a poster located at the entrance on which a group of chorus girls were showing off their erect and massive breasts announcing the Great Alhambra Musical Review. The poster, inexplicably, was still in the lobby, even though the show had been canceled due to the political events shaking the country. The two Germans, once they had checked in at the registration book, after handing over their passports and receiving the room key from the aseptic receptionist, resumed the discussion about the future of Czechoslovakia, closely followed by the hotel bellboy, who, stumbling with the luggage at his back in a terrible English mixed with some German and Italian, began to offer them as they approached the old elevator a rosary of services, from an advantageous black exchange of marks to crowns, to the discreet company of wonderful girls or boys, if that's what the gentlemen were looking for, always at the best prices in Prague, and with the greatest discretion in the world. Javier smiled inwardly as he listened again to the same nonsense he had heard from the bellboy himself hours before. The hotel was located near St. Wenceslas Square, in the very center of Prague. Knowing that he had a few hours in his favor, Javier walked quickly in the direction of St. Wenceslas Square, attracted by the shouts of more than 300,000 Czechs who demanded the resignation of the Central Committee and of Prime Minister Milos Jakes. Prague was in ferment, and a kind of organized, prudent, but unforeseen chaos reigned. Hours earlier, his arrival at Prague's International Airport had been chaotic. 100 Western journalists and photographers had elbowed their way through customs and passport control with him, under the astonished gaze of the regime's guards who, surprised by the human avalanche, and convinced that the communist government, which they had preserved, did not have many hours of life left, let them pass without even checking their press credentials and passports. Still holding his passport, Javier was catapulted by the mob. The horde of journalists that dragged him, hungry for transcendental events with which to fill the television news or the front pages of their newspapers, boarded the few old cabs that remained. Other private cars, in exchange for a few German marks, offered to take them to the city as well. Javier managed to take one of those improvised cabs with a couple of Italian journalists who talked to him as if he were one of them. Czechoslovakia had become front-page news in those convulsive last months of 1989. Javier pulled the collar of his trench coat closed, surprised by a blast of cold air as he rounded the